The third mental tool that you can use to triumph over adversity and to keep your self-confidence high is to know how to deal with an unexpected disappointment, one step at a time. Let me explain. Whenever one of your cherished dreams blows up in your face or you hit a stone wall in the pursuit of one of your goals, there's a natural reaction process that you and everyone else goes through. When you can recognize this process in yourself, you will be better able to see it in others and better able to deal with it. Elizabeth Kubler Ross refers to this process as the five stages of dealing with death. They are the same for dealing with the death of a dream, or a hope, or a goal, or even the death of your peace of mind from an unexpected source. The five stages seem to be identical. The first stage, when something goes completely wrong and you are confronted with an unexpected setback, similar to the death of a friend or relative, is denial. You simply refuse to face it. When a company is in trouble or a person's career is not going well, this is the most common reaction. In this first stage, you refuse to accept what has happened as a reality. You say something like, "I can't believe it," or you say, "That can't possibly have happened." You demand proof, and you immediately want to phone somebody or get information to verify what you've been told. The second stage, once you confirm that what has happened is an actual fact, is anger. Anger is triggered by a feeling of pain or fear, especially of uncertainty or of the unknown. The fact of losing a big customer and what that might mean to your bottom line immediately triggers anger and a tendency to lash out. You'll become angry at yourself and angry at the customer and angry at your competitor. This is why very often people blow up when they hear bad news. The third stage of dealing with a disappointment of any kind is blaming. As a result of childhood conditioning, it's almost an automatic response for us to look around for someone to blame when something goes wrong. We want to be able to point the finger at the person whose actions caused this setback. If we ourselves caused the problem, we'll blame our secretary, our friends, our family, we'll even shout at our children. But in any case, someone gets the blame. The fourth stage is usually depression. Especially in the case of a death, but also in the case of any major loss, you have a tendency to feel depressed and a little hopeless. You feel like a victim. Your level of self-confidence plummets, and you feel, what's the use? If you're not careful, you will take a single setback or disappointment and generalize it to yourself as a person. You will feel that this setback signifies a major flaw in your personality or in your ability. The fifth stage of disappointment is when the lights begin to come back on. This is when you accept full responsibility for what has happened. At the very least, you accept responsibility for your responses, for the way you react to the situation. You begin to exert a certain amount of self-control and self-mastery. You accept the disappointment as a fact and decide that there's no use crying over spilt milk. You say to yourself something like, well, what cannot be cured must be endured. Once you've accepted responsibility and turned your eyes upward toward the future, toward what can be done rather than toward what has happened, you move to the final stage, and that is the stage of action. You consciously choose the future over the past. You become solution-oriented rather than problem-oriented. You begin to look for the valuable lesson you can learn from this situation. You begin to think how you can minimize the damages and maximize any opportunities that might arise out of this setback. Friedrich Nietzsche, the philosopher, is famous for having said, "What doesn't kill me makes me stronger." You know that the only antidote to negativity and worry and low self-esteem is positive, purposeful, constructive action in the direction of your goals. As soon as you get busy, your self-esteem and your self-confidence start to go up again. You start to feel more in control of your emotions and of your life. You stop making excuses and you start making progress. You start thinking about how you can turn this situation to your advantage. And the most important thing you can do in dealing with any setback is to deliberately move through the five stages as quickly as possible. In the final analysis, you triumph over adversity by having clear values, clear goals and plans, and complete control over your mind and your thinking. You win by resolving to persist, no matter what the odds, no matter what happens, until you succeed. You recognize that persistence is a form of courage. It is the courage to endure in the face of adversity and disappointment, and it is the quality which guarantees that ultimately you will be successful. Calvin Coolidge, President of the United States, summed this up when he wrote, "Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent." Persistence is self-discipline in action. Each time you exert the self-discipline to persist in the face of adversity and disappointment, your self-esteem goes up. By engaging in the action of persistence, you build up your resistance to taking the easy way out. You create the friction that comes from going against your natural tendencies. You generate the heat that crystallizes your character at a new, higher level. And with this higher level of persistence, self-discipline, and character, your self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride go up. Your belief in yourself serves as a deep foundation of confidence upon which you build a great life. You become more positive, more optimistic, and more unstoppable in everything you do. And you do this because, as Churchill said, you never give up. Never, never give up.